Time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for December 12th. Man, we're almost halfway through it. We're 13 days from the day that the guy in the big red suit's going to come down the chimney and give you some candy and presents and everything. Well, that's still a couple weeks. But holidays today, there's some other ones. Today's National Ding-a-ling Day. Sorry. It's National Ding-a-ling. Have you ever heard the song from Chuck Berry, My Ding-a-ling? Okay. I want to play with my ding-a-ling. So, but that's National Ding-a-ling Day. I think I may have something to do with that, and it's poinsettia day. well, shout out, happy birthday to Sabu. He's 56 today. And New Japan and Ring of Honor's Flip Gordon's 29. And
oh, come on. Starting out with two guys I absolutely can't stand in the wrestling business. Good morning.
Well, I got one that you do like who's going to have a birthday on Wednesday. It's going to be happy 41st to Brody Lee on Wednesday this week coming up there. I only work it because, like, he's our man. You know, he's our dude. So the Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire Culver. We couldn't do it without them, and we thank them for being with us the entire 22 years we've been on the air here at Fox Sports 1280. Hey, interested in roller derby? You want to be a skater, officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. I'm your humble host this morning, the Cash Man. I'm joined by the artiste, Rob Sanderson. How are you doing today, buddy?
I had to jump in before the introductions, but
that's okay.
You got me fired up mentioning those names. Might as well rattle off a few more that I don't like.
Yeah, I'm sure we will get eventually to them, because if you've seen the news, there's some in there, I'm sure. DC Dan Cole from North Carolina joining us. DC, how are you doing today?
I am doing just fine, and can I just say, very much looking forward to getting some Donuts Delight in the very near future.
Woo! I like that. Of course, we'll still all be on TV screens, but Danger Boy joining us from Gates. And Danger, it wasn't your house that blew up the other day, was it?
No, it was a decent distance away, but it did shake my windows. But DC, you can stop over and bring some Donuts Delight with you.
Hey, right. we got a TLC pay-per-view coming up. Maybe we can get together for that. And Furby joining us, he's in the top left square today. Furby, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I have a face to my voice this week. I'm sitting up and pretty much pain-free. Got some numb arms, but other than that, I'm pretty good.
A brainectomy. Is that what it was? They took your brain out? No.
Yeah, I wish. Give me something a little bit more intelligent, please.
Yeah, Abby Normal, right?
No. Abby someone.
Yeah. All right. So, well, I'm glad you're feeling better and you look good and you're frozen on the camera, so it looks even better. You kind of look like Bubba Ray Dudley from this angle. So, hey, we're here to talk about the world of pro wrestling. As always, we do it every Saturday morning. We appreciate you listening. And, you know, we do want to start off. I there's so much stuff to talk about, but the thing that's really lit the wrestling world on fire is what's going on with AEW. And we talked about it last week because how could we not? We have a new champion who was assisted by a man who is an executive with Impact Wrestling. We continue with that trend this week. And I watched Impact Wrestling, and listen, you know they're gonna be pulling in some more people because of this little appearance. And I mean, how many times do they have to say Impact Wrestling on AEW and tell you where to watch it? You know, because they mention Impact Wrestling on Access TV. Every time they mention it, they tell you where it's going. So I had to watch it this week, and we got a whole plethora of people from AEW showing up on Impact Wrestling. We started off with a commercial with Tony Khan and Tony Schiavone, which kind of blew my mind that the guy who, you know, pretty much runs AEW is in a commercial. And then, you know, and in a commercial, he kind of, you know, they kind of promote their product on Wednesday, but they also talk about possibly buying Impact, which I thought was pretty funny. But that, and we've got the cleaner, Kenny Omega, showing up with his number one stooge there to kind of gloat a lot at the end of the program on Impact. What did you guys think? A lot of people are, and some people are saying this is a bad move by AEW. And listen, I'm not saying that. I love it. I'm enjoying this. I love crossovers. But, you know, in fact, I don't even know if you saw this last week, but Triple H was asked about, would WWE ever do a crossover with anybody? And he said, yeah, but it'd have to be a long-term thing, like a 10-year deal. It's like nobody's going to, you know, no two companies are going to cross over that long. It's kind of silly for him to say that. But some people are kind of being a little bit critical of AEW, thinking that, you know, if anything, Impact is getting a bigger boost out of this than anything AEW can get. But I think AEW, I mentioned last week, they have talent on that roster that, you know, you all you got to do is see, and it might make you become a regular watcher. What do you guys think? Danny, DC, what do you think about that?
For the first time in a long time, I watched Impact Wrestling on Twitch this week. So, I mean, that says a lot right there. And just a pro tip for anybody that's considering tuning in, fantastic watching it on Twitch. Because as opposed to regular commercials, you get best of Impact moments. So it's a nice solid 2 hours of wrestling.
And also, but normally, I mean, normally too, Melissa Santos is the host, and you get to see Melissa Santos. That's always a plus.
Melissa Santos, yes, very beautiful lady.
But I mean, Cash, both parties are definitely going to get a boost from this. But I would absolutely say I think this benefits Impact more than AEW, but I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing.
I agree. Rob, thoughts?
So I have been watching Impact here and there in recent months. I also watched every minute of it this week. I'll say from an Impact side of things, it's great for them to get more people watching them. The only thing I think that they maybe dropped the ball on is they've got a pay-per-view type thing on Impact Plus tonight that kind of got completely lost in the shuffle in terms of promoting that. But huge for them to get that kind of a boost. Yeah, it benefits Impact more than AEW, but there's no negative in my mind for AEW in that. They're still going to get a little bit of a boost. Nobody's going to be like, oh, I'm just going to watch Impact now and screw AEW. Like, those people are still going to watch AEW. You're making another non-WWE company more relevant, which is good for them. It would be good for Ring of Honor. It would be good for other indies, whatever the case is. So I think it was positive. You know, I will probably get more into this. I thought it was a tad repetitive on Wednesday compared to what we heard from Don Callis, especially on Tuesday. But I enjoyed it. I think it's exciting. They kind of rushed into that screw job title change, and now we're at a point where maybe it's going to be a slow build from here to see what happens in terms of the crossover and everything. But I think it's the most exciting thing that's happened in terms of mainstream wrestling in quite a while.
I was going to say, I think this is actually probably I think this is beautifully being done. It kind of sets the tone of why, you know, there was the screw job. And now the best part about this is with Omega and Callis on Tuesday, and then the same thing pretty much happening on Wednesday on Dynamite. You're right, Rob. It is like a slow build. It's kind of like they just keep teasing and teasing and teasing, try to keep viewers coming back. And, you know, if they went and blew their load all at once, you know, nobody would come back and probably watch Impact. But now because they're doing this gradually, they're going to get people to keep coming back and watching because they want to see what's going to happen. The only thing, and I watch Impact every week. I watch everything every week, but I guess the only thing besides not really promoting Final Resolution was on Impact, they really didn't do much throughout the show to, in my eyes, to really grab an additional audience other than keep teasing the Kenny Omega thing at the end. Overall, the wrestling was fine. But as far as new viewers who are watching Impact for the first time, they may have not really been, you know, impressed by the actual show.
Well, hold on a second.
Seeing what they wanted at the end.
Chris Bay there and, you know, taking on the, you know, in a tag match against the champ there at the end. I thought that was pretty good. I mean, they kind of teased what's going to be happening. And they did mention their show coming up this weekend a couple times. You know, yes, they could have beaten a lot more out of it. But and then blowing their what? Oh, we can't say that. But Danger, what did you think?
So I'm not a huge fan of Kenny Omega promos. I do like that, and we haven't brought this up yet, he teased his belt collector gimmick, and they've already put a small tease in that a lot of people might have missed when Rich Swann had to go around because of security for Kenny Omega and Don Callis in their Lex Express bus. But I wish they had gone a little more. It was repetitive on Wednesday. They pretty much said the same thing, didn't add anything to it. I'm going to keep watching and see where it goes. We've already seen the numbers for Impact have come out. It's their highest ever Twitch viewership. It's their highest. They cleared over 200,000 viewers on Access and actually made the top 150 when they normally don't. They usually average about 160,000. They got about 220,000 this week. So we're seeing some benefits already pay off that way. I don't know what, other than great matches, I don't know what the benefit for AEW is at this point, other than a more solid wrestling market. It's not like they're on the same night, so it's not detrimental at all. And I'll be happy to see where it goes. Hopefully it has a much better payoff than the Shaq incident this week.
Think about this. This is what I was going to mention, too. It was just a segment on AEW this week, because we had some other things going on that show that were just as, I think, a big deal as Shaq, you mentioned. Sting being interviewed in the middle of the ring and announcing that, you know, kind of poo-pooing and big timing. That's what I call it, is big timing Cody Rhodes there in the middle of the ring, which that's what I felt as soon as he left it. It's like, well, he's big timing Cody Rhodes. I mean, that's the impression I was getting. Obviously, now we hear Sting's going to be wrestling at 61. I don't know if I have a problem with that. Ric Flair was wrestling at 61, but
I have a problem with it because this guy's serious neck injury.
Yes. I mean, but you know, so, you can work around that.
What they're saying is he's going to be in tag matches. He's going to do like run-ins type deals and stuff that'll protect him. But I don't think you're going to see any long-term singles feuds with Sting involved.
No, but I think like what you mentioned there between the stuff with Impact and Shaq and Sting, they're all slow builds, which is what they need to do. They mentioned Sting's going to be there long-term. There's no reason to rush him into a match, in my mind, for months. Like, let that be the slowest build of all, because I don't really need to see him in a match either. It sounds, after this week, like it's going to happen. But I agree. I mean, maybe he's going to team up with Darby, whatever the case is, be a mentor. He can probably do some stuff here and there. But, yeah, I agree. I don't want to see a singles match from Sting. It probably would still be better than a singles match from Goldberg, but that's not saying much.
I don't want to see
it. I was just going to say the same damn thing.
And we'll talk about that in a little bit later, but I do want to say I don't want to see a singles match with Shaq either, to be honest with you. But, But Shaq, you know, that was kind of a surprise. I didn't expect to see Shaq on AEW. I mean, I know they announced it to promote. And the thing, they were thinking that Shaq would take him up over 1 million viewers. And, man, they were close. They were very, very close to hitting that million number. They're only 5,000 people short of 1 million. So kudos to them. On that note, we're going to break. Come back. We've got a lot of things to talk about, including we're going to do a little review of War Games from last weekend. You are listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with the Artiste, Danger Boy, Furby, DC Dan Cole, and you. And we couldn't do it without Salvatore. Check them out. Salvatore's. I want you to know what they brought. They are the reason we're here. So we got to definitely mention them as much as we can. It is Christmas season and holiday season. If you want to get a gift certificate, they're selling them. So, and who wouldn't want, like, you know, $50 gift certificate for, like, Salvatore's, you know, because not only they have pizza and wings and stuff, but they have so much more than that. Check them out, salvatore's.com. I am the cash man, of course, and we're back to talking the world of pro wrestling. Teased a little bit about talking about war games. Before we get to war games, let's talk about, I know we don't want to talk about it, but we'll briefly mention it. Bill Goldberg showed up in WWE on their show that's on the same time we're on the radio, which is 10 o'clock in the morning. So don't listen, you know, listen to us. You know, you can listen to them if you want to hear Goldberg talk about who he wants next. And obviously he does come on and came on in this past week and said that he wants to wrestle Roman Reigns. And it looks like WWE is looking for a backup plan for WrestleMania, because right now the original plans were Roman Reigns and The Rock, and they may not be working out because Rock won't do it unless there's a crowd, which I find interesting, you know? I mean,
Goldberg won't do it unless his paycheck includes three commas.
Yeah, and of course. Well, he did sign a Legends contract. He owes him a few dates, I'm sure, and he probably gets a little bump when he does WrestleMania. But so, unfortunately,
the only thing worse to me than a Bill Goldberg match is a Bill Goldberg match with no crowd. That was the only thing he had, was the crowd going nuts for him, like back in the day. Can you imagine, like, that WCW stuff with, like, nobody in the stands? Oh, there's a terrible jackhammer. Oh, okay, yep, it's done. Boy. Oh, thanks. Pass.
Sorry, Bill. He used to come on our show. I'm sure if he ever listened now, he'd never come on again. But,
oh, super nice guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, that doesn't mean I'd love him in the ring.
Oh, no, no. Because when you wrestle once a year, it's not like you're ready to get in there and do it, you know? I mean, you know, Ferb, what do you think, man? Ferb, you're the youngest of all of us. You probably like Goldberg still.
Actually, no. I mean, I really wasn't that. I didn't see much of Goldberg at all, really, unless I went back and watched some stuff, because he was pretty much done and gone by the time I started watching wrestling. So I didn't really get it till the reiteration back in 2016.
Anything has ever made me feel old on the pain clinic over these decades.
Right there.
Probably that statement right there.
I guess, like, again, I'm not like the biggest fan of him, seeing him in the ring. I think especially seeing his latest stuff, it's not all that exciting. Probably the only thing that was worthwhile was the Brock Lesnar Goldberg WrestleMania match, when it was just extreme chaos there for 4 minutes. Yeah. But I kind of see where WWE might be going with Goldberg. You know, setting up this match that never really happened. And I don't think it happens at WrestleMania. I mean, if you look at Goldberg's contract, he has to do 2 matches a year. What he did this year, he did, you know, what was it? The Saudi Arabia show. And then he did WrestleMania. I think we end up seeing probably Roman versus Goldberg at Royal Rumble. Something happens. And then obviously setting up maybe something between The Fiend and Goldberg at WrestleMania. I mean, obviously Fiend had the squash title drop to Goldberg in Saudi Arabia. And the big character gimmick with The Fiend is he never forgets. So maybe he looks out for retribution against Goldberg at Mania. That's the only direction I could really see them going. Otherwise, even bringing Goldberg back doesn't really make sense at all.
Well, you know what it does is Goldberg was WCW. You know, there when an interesting thing is when WWE bought WCW, they were both drawing millions and millions and millions of people. Well, the WWE bought WCW, all of a sudden, millions of people who used to watch wrestling disappeared. And that's the thing, is because people down the South didn't buy Vince McMahon, you know, and the way he did things. And so there's always been those numbers, you know. That's why they always, you know, treat some of the WCW elite as elite in the WWE, because they know that they have their fans, you know. And Bill Goldberg probably has his fans. I mean, I remember I was around when the streak was going on. In fact, I got the very first interview we ever did on this radio show was Bill Goldberg when he was the champion of WCW, when he was in the middle of that streak. And Danger Boy was just a little Danger Boy back then. And he was a little Danger. And my son was
I still had braces.
That's right. It was a lot. It was before we really. I mean, we actually interviewed him before the show started. It was like a week before the show started. He happened to be in town. So, but he, you know, so there's some people out there that will come back and watch it when they see Goldberg's name on it. Now, I'm not one of them, and I used to defend the guy, but. Man, if you look at his history of, like, you know, taking, you know, I mean, he's really the reason Bret Hart isn't wrestling anymore. He had that terrible match with The Undertaker, which The Undertaker would have retired if he was satisfied with the match, and he wasn't. So he thought it was a terrible match. And, you know, The Undertaker came back a couple times because of terrible matches, you know. And that was one of them. I'm not a fan anymore. I did like, you know, I mean, I liked him. He was available. We could get him. He was a champion. He was a quote machine. He still is, you know, but his motivation in wrestling wasn't what everybody else's was. His was because he needed dollars in his bank account. That's what it was.
Yeah, I just don't think, and I kind of agree with all of you guys. I mean, I don't think the match is going to get over as well as Vince obviously thinks it is. And unless there's fans in the seats, it's going to be a meaningless thing. You know, I know from what we've seen, Vince wants to have people in the seats by Royal Rumble. We'll see whether that comes to fruition or not. But, you know,
I can tell you, we're in December right now. That's not going to happen. There's no way that they're going to, you know, especially if they're what they're. Have you seen the footage of them redesigning Tropicana Field for the new Thunderdome there? I mean, they've been posting shots of it like the last couple of days, and it's like, man, it's going to be nobody there as well. So they're going to. I think that we're not going to see people, you know, not until at least the vaccines start getting around, and I'm guessing not till maybe June. We're thinking, you know.
I think at best, being extremely optimistic, SummerSlam.
And there was talk, and I don't know if we talked about it on the air, about how they wanted to stretch out maybe and make WrestleMania be a point when they can have people, and then it would be in June, so they would kind of change their schedule for this coming year. They really haven't put out their pay-per-view schedule for the next year. Usually we're deep into the next schedule by now. So who knows? Maybe they're going to delay it and do WrestleMania in June or July when they can have people, but that's the whole Rock thing too. It's like Rock won't come back unless there's a crowd, you know? I mean, so, or at least that's what they said. Yeah. I mean,
there's no point in paying the Rock to come back if there's no crowd. Absolutely none. Why are you going to pay him to perform when you're going to get the same people watching? You're not going to draw an extra crowd. You're not going to draw extra people to pay money at all, but there's no point in having any major celebrities like that come back if you don't have a crowd.
Right. And they've done great up to this point, without a crowd. They found a way around it. Unfortunately, some guys have been the champion and have lost it since then, who've never really got a chance to prove himself in front of a crowd, you know. And it's like, you know, and I mean, this prove himself as also selling merchandise and whatnot, you know. So, but that's really how the WWE ranks the wrestlers. Whoever sells the most merch usually is higher up on the card, you know, if not at the top. So, but beyond that, I did want to talk a little bit about War Games. War Games last weekend, insane night of wrestling Capitol Wrestling Center?
Capitol Wrestling Center, yeah.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, and but man, it was you know, it's great. Is they start off the night with the women's War Games match, and I thought it was great. I enjoyed it immensely. I thought it was better than the men's, and maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I mean, not that I'm wrong. That's how I felt, but I didn't feel the men's had enough big enough spots in it. Women's, on the other hand, were doing crazy stuff like Io Shirai in a garbage can jumping off the top of the cage, and I guess Candice LeRae broke her arm in the match. I didn't see where, but I'm gonna have to go back and watch it again. But it was that, and I enjoyed actually the one-on-ones too. I thought Ciampa and Thatcher was a great match. I enjoyed that a lot. Loomis and Cameron Grimes. Listen, Cameron Grimes is becoming one of my favorites. I hate to say it, but I love his creepy. He looks like he came out of the trailer park, you know, and he's sweaty and stinky, and you know, and that's but that's that's how he portrays it. And then we got Gargano, Priest, and Leon Ruff, and Of course, Gargano wins back his title. Maybe he'll be able to hold it a little bit longer. Of course, the last match of the night was the War Games match with the Undisputed Era versus Pat McAfee's game, Team McAfee. And Pat McAfee, I swore, took more bumps than anybody else in that match. He would do the big ones, disappear for 10 minutes, come back and do another big one. Anybody else have any thoughts on the pay-per-view? Anyone, overall, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I have some thoughts. The women's match, I completely disagree with you on. Yes, they did crazier bumps, but they were usually really sloppy and they had no meaning behind them. The spot where Candace broke her arm was the one where she pulled the chair on top of herself and then flipped it around because it was on the wrong side for Shotzi to do a senton on her.
Terrible on camera.
Oh yeah.
Candace is one of the best wrestlers in the world, so that's disappointing, and it's unfortunate that they couldn't figure that out camera-wise or something to hide that, but that just looked awful.
Yeah, and I didn't like the women's match at all. I don't understand the reasoning behind giving the faces or the good guys the man advantage, but then having them have one person always knocked out when it came time for them to have that advantage, so it was always even. If you're going to do that, you might as well just give the advantage to the bad guys. I didn't like the women's match at all. Thatcher versus Gargano versus Ciampa was awesome. Grimes versus Dexter Lumis was what it was. For Lumis, I need him to do something else. I like the character. I like the thought behind it, but I need him to do something else at this point. The NA title match was what it was. I like that Austin Theory is back. I don't necessarily want him to be buddy-buddy with somebody, though. And the men's match, I loved. I thought that was great. I thought they used everybody. It's unfortunate that there was injuries in it and Bobby Fish just had to have surgery. But I loved that match. I don't think you need the giant spots all the time if you have meaning behind what they're doing.
I thought going into War Games, it's probably one of the best storytelling jobs that they've done in a while since they've gone on USA. So I thought overall War Games was a huge success. The women's match, yes, I liked it. I enjoyed it. However, I do agree there was a lot of bad timing issues, especially with, you know, some spots that were caught on camera that made it look worse than what it was. Thatcher, Ciampa, very physical. Kind of same thing with, Lumis and Grimes, a very physical match. The triple threat was very good. Like how they actually gave the title back to Gargano. And then the men's match, I can't say enough good things about Pat McAfee. I think he's probably the second biggest heel right now in the company. And I think he's probably the best celebrity I've ever seen in a ring. The things that he's done, taking bumps, spots, jumps, you know, just his work in the ring and his work on the mic is awesome.
A lot of people have been pointing out that anybody else in NXT should be embarrassed that Pat McAfee has come in and can cut a better promo than anybody. Mr. Ortiz,
Punk came out and said that this
that's
week.
What it was. Mr. Ortiz, you get a chance to watch this?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it was on. I was paying attention in and out, as is the case whenever I put on their product. But I agree with a lot of that. For me, Thatcher's match was probably the highlight, to be honest. Women's match, I didn't like at all, and that was the one I thought I would probably like the most going into it. I've said I can't stand Pat McAfee, and like that's him. That's just I've never been able to stand him. I give him credit; like he's putting in the effort, he's doing everything he can, like he's putting in the work. So I mean, props to him; it's working and stuff. He's just really easy to hate, and so I guess that's a good thing for him. I still don't like him. I'm never gonna like him, but. It is what it is. So, I mean, from what I saw, the pay-per-view it was pretty good. I mean, I think I maybe enjoyed it a little more than I thought I would, but wasn't perfect. There's still some people that I just can't get behind in that current NXT product. But, I mean, overall, pretty good show.
DC?
Yeah, again, I'm on my no watching WWE, not giving them my money kick. But from what I read, I'll just say this. About McAfee, I know Artiste is never going to like him. But the fact that he goes in there, does all this stuff, and then sells it on his show, you got to give him credit. He's 100% in on it.
Oh, yeah. No, he is. I don't know. He's the type, like, even if we weren't, like, if he never came into the wrestling world, like, I already disliked him at that point. I'm never going to like him. It just it is what it is. Like, he's too much of a barstooly bro to me. So,
oh, yeah,
it's what it is.
Well, who are you taking, Pat McAfee or Goldberg?
to watch wrestle?
Yep.
Hope both to kill each other and
Pat McAfee.
Okay, on that note, we're going to take a break.
Chat.
We'll be back after this on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pangling. I'm the Cash Man with Furby from Hilton, Danger Boy from Gates, and he's safe. His house did not blow up. He wasn't anywhere near it. We have the artiste from Rochester, Rob Sanderson, and DC Dan Cole, our transplant in North Carolina. And we're here to talk the world of pro wrestling. Just had a spirited conversation on War Games, and now we got TLC coming up. I'm not even going to start talking about that yet because I'm not even sure what one of the matches are right now. But we'll talk about some things that happened this week. We already talked about AEW and Impact, and that pretty much dominated our first segment. But on NXT this past week, we had Karrion Kross come back, and I thought that was kind of surprising. Karrion Kross, who was, I thought, hurt worse than he was, because it was only a few weeks. Danger Boy, what did he do? He tore something in his shoulder. Was it a labrum?
Yeah, I think it was his labrum or something similar, and he recovered. He did that at the end of August, and they said his recovery was John Cena-like. He recovered very quickly from that injury. And he's back and got physical already. He's been more physical than Finn has since he got hurt. So it was good to see him. And it was nice to see kind of Damian Priest get elevated a bit by being involved with his return. So
I was going to say, I really, really, really enjoyed NXT actually this week. It felt like one of their bigger shows just for their weekly television. It felt like it definitely elevated a lot of guys. And it kind of felt big time. And I thought they did a great job. And it's weird only because of two guys coming back, Cross and Taylor. Seeing them really elevated the product to me in my eyes. But then it also, you know, Priest took a step up. It looks like he's kind of going to be in that NXT title picture in the near future. So it's like it kind of just kind of the stepping stones for some of the guys just with two returns. So I did enjoy NXT a lot this week.
I thought it was interesting that they started the show with Finn Balor and ended the show with Karrion Kross. They're two guys who are both coming back from, you know, injured time on the DL. Both of them hurt around the same time too, if you think about it, because Finn had that
apart.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
Or a takeover apart, sorry.
Yeah, it was pretty close though, because the injury that Finn had to his jaw that had to have surgery. But yeah, but Finn, like, and it was a good point you made there, Danger, that Finn's still not even getting physical yet, and Karrion Kross came out and started something up, which I think is great, because I think Damian Priest is a great thing for NXT. I mean, he could easily be on one of the major shows too. I think he's good, but I kind of like that dynamic he had going on with Johnny Gargano, you know, especially from the match with Leon Ruff too. Leon Ruff being like the guy nobody expected to be holding that title, but nice that Karrion Kross is back. They can go back to doing that huge introduction he has every week, which is pretty cool. So that being said, that's pretty cool. It's some other news this week that I wanted to tease on. I did want to mention, I didn't mention this earlier, but in Impact Wrestling this past week, and Scott D'Amore, former guest on the show, really was taking some shots at WWE during the show on, I didn't mention it earlier when we were talking about it, I forgot, but now I'm remembering it now on Impact. Taking shots, him and as well as Don Callis, taking shots at they kept calling a Josh Stanford boy, you know, because
referred to Moxley as Ambrose once.
Yeah, Ambrose. He called him Ambrose, and he said, you know, Tough Enough One. I didn't realize, was Ambrose in Tough Enough One? Was he in the first year of Tough Enough?
I don't think so.
Well, he
that's Josh office he was. But.
Yeah. Well, he said that he was kind of insinuating that. So it's like
he might have been one of the pre-screened people. I don't think he ever made the final show though.
No, he definitely didn't make the show.
Yeah. So yeah. But there's a bunch of guys that were almost guys, but yeah, they were taking some real shots at WWE, and WWE really took it personal when. This past week on AEW, they announced that Snoop Dogg is going to be a special commentator on their New Year's Eve show that AEW is having?
I think it's the second half of that.
Yeah, it's the second.
In a row, so that January 6th one, I think.
Yes.
So they're doing like a two-part New Year's show. One's on New Year's Eve and the other one's on, January 6th. But that Snoop Dogg, who, of course, is related to Sasha Banks in WWE, Snoop Dogg, who is a WWE Hall of Famer as of, 2015 or 16, I think he went in? I think it was 15, I'm pretty sure. But WWE has really got a sore butt from him coming in doing. But the thing is he also has that new show on TNT there, the Go Big Show, where he's one of the hosts. Yep. So what do you guys think about that? I think WWE is kind of being a little oversensitive about Snoop Dogg. They think he's turning his back on him, but it's all business to Snoop, you know? It's not like that boxing match he was doing commentary for, but Snoop's always fun when it comes to wrestling.
He was great on commentary for that.
He was.
He was great, yeah.
He was, but
he should do more comedy. He was great when he did a little hockey like a year or two ago, too. Vince can't own everybody forever, especially somebody like Snoop Dogg, who's bigger than WWE. So he can go cry about it. It's not, of course, like it makes sense for Snoop Dogg to be on TNT when he's got that show with Cody and stuff. Like, I don't, what are they going to do to stop Snoop Dogg from doing that?
If he was under contract, they could do something, but he has absolutely no ties, financial ties to the WWE.
I'm finding now that anything that upsets WWE and Vince brings me great joy. So,
more Snoop.
Snoop-a-loop. Bring your green hat.
Well, what's funny is once they started hinting that Shaq was going to be doing something with him, all of a sudden WWE came out bad-mouthing Shaq about how, they wanted to have him take on the Big Show, and they said that Shaq wouldn't get into shape for it. He wasn't gonna put in an extra time in the gym or anything, and so that's why they decided not to do it. Remember a couple of years ago they were kind of hitting at it. Was it a Royal Rumble where him and the Big Show had that little face off?
Yeah, I believe so. And in all honesty, I think Shaq saved us an eyesore. So thank you.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't love is how we briefly mentioned it earlier, but like. Just waiting to see what they're gonna do next with Cody, but then like this week they kind of teased like. Something with him and Sting, and then also probably something with him and Shaq. I was like, can we just maybe pick one of those for now or give one of them to somebody else? I don't know. That was a little weird to me.
Well, I think Brandy.
And they're not going to happen at the same time, I hope. But
I think Brandy's going to take on Shaq, isn't she? Because she didn't she like.
Well, Jake Cargill. She's going to. I mean, but it could be a mixed tag match or something. I don't know.
Well, she said a terrible
Sting and Shaq could team up. It'll be a great match.
Is Rodman not available? Is that what's going on? He might be over in North Korea. Well, on that note, we got one more piece of news before we break again. Interesting news from EC3 saying he's going to be a free agent again soon, working with Ring of Honor right now, building up Ring of Honor's show in December, and apparently after he's done with Ring of Honor, he's going to be a free agent. And he's still got a great relationship with Impact, even though he really just did one match with one match on the Bound for Glory, Bound for Glory pay per view where. Yeah. So the thing is EC3, I mean, he might go back to Impact and then somehow shift over to AEW if possible. There's some rumors, and these are very old, not old rumors, but I've heard this a couple times, is that maybe some of the guys who are on Impact right now, who are like the high cost guys on Impact, might shift over to AEW. They might absorb their contract. Danger, it looks like you want to say something.
No, I'm just trying not to cough.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I was gonna say because the big names that they're mentioning were the Good Brothers, who initially turned down an AEW deal because of AJ Styles re-signing with WWE when they were gonna supposedly. I don't know if you heard the story about how they were gonna bring AJ in with the Good Brothers and AEW and all at the same time, and then that kind of fell apart when AJ re-signed. But the Good Brothers could really, I mean, you know, think about the tag team division already. If you throw those guys in too, man, it would definitely make a much stronger tag division. I mean, it's not that it's probably not the best tag division in wrestling right now. I think it is. But, you know, and then they keep adding new guys every week. We see some new guys, you know, this past week. I'm trying to remember. Who was the guys that started the night on AEW? There was a tag.
Was it the Hybrid 2 against the Young Bucks?
That's what it was. Hybrid. That's right. Hybrid 2. We've seen Hybrid 2 before, but it was nice that they got the kickoff match for once, you know, on the show, because it seems like they do always have a tag match as a kickoff match. But
The match with Pillman Jr. and Griff Garrison. Griff Garrison looked like a star on Wednesday for somebody who, just months ago, the big running joke was, who the F is Griff Garrison? He did great on Wednesday. So that's another potential tag team climbing the ranks.
Yeah. And
and keep an eye out for Pillman Jr. and AEW, too, because I'm pretty sure his MLW contract is soon going to be completed. I know Davey Boy Smith Jr.'s MLW contract is done. And I know both of them over the summer wanted to get out of MLW when they weren't running shows, and they didn't really let them go. So
Pillman Jr. is going for the NWA title sometime soon.
Yeah, I saw that announced. Yeah, and think about this: Murder Hawk's partner is now a free agent. So, you know, our former partner. So we'll see what happens with that. We got a break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Furby, Danger Boy, DC, Dan Cole, the Artiste, and MJF. No, he's not with us. You know, if they originally had the show in Rochester that was supposed to be here back in March, we would have had MJF the Saturday before. That would have been so cool. And maybe it'll happen when they come back. When is it again? In July or June of next year?
June.
Yeah, something like that. So I can't wait for that. Well, we're going to get some quick news in real quick before we get out of here. Some things we might have not talked about. I'm going to mention briefly Jackson Ryker. You might remember him as what was his name in TNA?
Gunner.
He was part of the group that actually showed up on SmackDown last week, and they kind of eliminated him from it, but he was a little bit outspoken about things going on politically, and it kind of got him in trouble with a lot of fans, and so WWE kind of took him off the air. And now he shows up this past week on the Monday Night Raw, and he's with Elias, and he's back on TV. And, we all can have opinions, I guess. You know, nobody's wrong on their opinion, but if it's not popular, you're not going to be on TV. I don't necessarily agree with him, but, you know, as a wrestler, I don't think it matters, you know, his character nor what's going on with his character. It doesn't have anything to do with what in real life he thinks, but he should keep his mouth shut.
That's what the issue was. He was using his real life opinion or the opinion that his character would have to play up his character. And everyone's like, yeah, no, you should probably stay out of this one.
Yeah, so, but he's back now, and we're going to see him on TV for a while. And it's, he was a nice guy, you know, with TNA and Gunner, and we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. Some other news. WWE, there's been some more solidified rumors about three big matches that are going to happen at WrestleMania 37. We talked earlier about The Rock and Roman Reigns probably not happening. Now, it's obviously Roman Reigns and Goldberg. There's a lot of talk about that. Nobody cares. Nobody wants Goldberg. You guys would actually cheer for Reigns over Goldberg, even if he was the worst heel on the planet. And I think WWE is just never going to get it, you know, until the guy, you know, they hold him in high esteem, even though he just is not good for the business. But they're also talking about a rematch from last year's WrestleMania between Randy Orton and Edge. And Edge should be coming back soon. I mean, he's been working on the creative team, so he's there every week. That's one of the matches. And the last proposed match would be Keith Lee versus Brock Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship in a three-way. I don't have a problem with that. That'd be a lot of fun. Brock Lesnar has got to come back first. I mean, we're talking 3 months from now, you know, three and a half, four, you know, at the most. We haven't seen hide nor hair of him. Is he going to show up at during the Royal Rumble? Is that where it's going to happen? Or
last we knew, he's not under contract at all.
He's
not. And I see no, just like with The Rock, I see no reason for them to bring him back if there's no fans.
Yeah, well.
And my biggest issue, honestly, is like, are we watching WrestleMania 36 all over again? Like, literally, I know that Roman Reigns and Goldberg didn't happen, but that's what was supposed to happen. We saw Orton and Edge already. And in all honesty, as much as people may hate this, I don't want to see them wrestle each other unless it's for a title. I know it probably shouldn't be, but why have them wrestle again, even if it's just for the third time? And then Keith Lee, Lesnar, and Drew McIntyre, to me, all that feels like is Drew McIntyre is going to take the pin for Keith Lee to take the title, which I'm not upset with, but I honestly don't want to see that pairing. I'd rather just see Keith Lee versus Drew McIntyre. But Lesnar's a name. He's a money draw. He'll get more views. Well, that's my opinion on this right now.
And the thing about Lesnar is he pretty much disappeared after last WrestleMania. Maybe he wanted the year off, and he's going to re-sign right before so he can, you know, put another year on the road and make like some gazillion dollars or whatever he's getting. I don't, you know, I'm not really sure, but I think we'll get some more hints as we get closer to what's going on with Brock Lesnar. But that's all rumored right now. If somehow we can do it in front of people, maybe The Rock will be taking on Roman Reigns. I would rather have that, to be honest with you.
I would too, because it would further tell the storyline that they're at now, and that's a huge thing for me when it comes to professional wrestling is, can you tell the story? And I want to see a payoff.
Yeah, some other things going on. The next story, AEW came out with a little preview for next week. Mr. Artiste, what's that? We've got the Acclaimed. That's who I was thinking of. The Acclaimed. They're kind of a new team. They're taking on SCU. But what else?
Yeah, Anthony Bowens and Max Caster. That'll be against Daniels and Kaz. What I'm looking forward to is a six-man tag. The Hardy Party taking on a team confirmed of Hangman Adam Page, along with Dark Order's John Silver and Alex Reynolds, who you saw with little cowboy hats popping up from behind the bar. That could be super entertaining.
That was pretty funny, though. I didn't realize they were the bartenders, you know?
Yeah. Well, they're always serving the Kool-Aid, so. Women's tag match, Serena Deeb and Big Swole take on Diamante and Ivelisse. Cody Rhodes versus Angelico. And then not confirmed yet, but there's a rumor of a 14-man tag, which would be the entire Inner Circle against the team of Best Friends, the Varsity Blondes, Top Flight, and Brandon Cutler. So we'll see if that happens, but should be a good show. But that's Wednesday, obviously. See what happens on Impact. Tonight is Impact Final Resolution. Friday is ROH Final Battle. There's New Japan stuff going on. There's so much stuff going on this month. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's where EC3's wrestling is, on Final Battle, Ring of Honor's Final Battle. That's, this weekend.
Looking forward to that on Friday. So.
Yeah, we got, there's definitely a lot of cool stuff coming up. We're going to get out of here. We went a little long in one segment. Might have to go a little bit shorter here at the end. But, before we go, we haven't done this in a while. Anyone have a match of the week? Anyone particular one stand out for you?
I'll go Ciampa and Thatcher.
Yeah, Ciampa and Thatcher from War Games. That was insane. Man, there's a lot of good wrestling going on. How about you, Ferbs? I mean, you watch MLW that every week.
Yeah. I pretty much watch everything that there is out there for main promotions. As far as match of the week, I'll kind of go offshoot. Richard Holiday versus Low Key. Low Key picked up the victory and is in the finals for the Opera Cup.
Interesting.
I'm just gonna throw, without thinking about it too much, I'm just gonna go with Kingston and the Butcher and the Blade beating Archer, Phoenix, and Penta. Looking for more out of those six and more. The Pack just being gone is kind of weird.
Yeah,
he's just kind of disappeared again.
Yeah,
but still like the match and looking forward to more there, and the table spot and another pinfall win there for Blade. So appreciated that.
I meant to ask you, what'd you think about that? That's what you were looking forward to. We did get the one-on-one matchup in the middle of the match. I thought that was great.
But again, kind of a slow build. We only got a little bit of it with those two, but the way they kind of split apart. But I thought it was good. Always interesting with Jake Roberts out there too, and Bunny getting involved and stuff. So hopefully this kind of continues more. I hate that they kind of brought Pac Bandit back into the play, and then he was splitting apart the Lucha Bros, and now Lance Archer's randomly with them, maybe just for a week. But like, is Pac gone again? Did he go back to England? Who knows? So
yeah, there is
that's the, a little
Yeah, there is a reason why he's not on. We're not sure exactly, but maybe we'll get something pretty soon. Got a lot of great wrestling this week. I hope everybody's out there getting their Christmas presents for their loved ones and their Hanukkah presents and everything. And I want to thank you guys for coming again another week. Thank you, RT.
We're almost at painty season, aren't we?
Yeah, oh, that's right. Painties. We got to start thinking about it. The painties will be in a couple weeks.
Maybe, start sending me your ideas, boys.
Yeah, so maybe when DC's in town at Donuts Delight, you know, maybe.
I would love a donut right now.
Oh, we're going to get out of here. We'll go grab one now. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. We'll see you next week, folks.